Episode 1776, My Strength is My Story with Victoria Durstock. Heart and home for Christmas.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by.
Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is My Strength is My Story series, and we have with us an incredible, awesome woman. Her name is Victoria Durstock. You are going to love her. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Victoria's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. I hope you are ready to trim the tree and let the light shine, because Victoria is going to let her beauty from her heart sparkle. This is the time to get your house ready for the glitz, the glamour, and the gospel. We had such a great time giggling and carrying on about the holidays. She shares stories from her heart, a few design secrets, and what she would leave out of her living room. Well, what would you take out of your living room? Well, today, be inspired and encouraged as you celebrate joy in your living space. So without further ado, let's welcome into our home, Victoria Durstock, Heart and Home for Christmas. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have someone in the house that knows more about color and furniture than I could ever dreamed to know. Her name is Victoria Durstock. She is a wife of 23 years and has three beautiful children. Her mission is to intentionally seek to inspire hope and ignite bigger dreams for God's purpose in each of our stories. Victoria has a master's degree in music, but found herself in the furniture industry. She is a writer, blogger, teacher, and speaker, also contributing to devotionals for Worthy. Victoria connects the basic principles of Christian living with the basic principles of interior design. And you can bring her heart into your home with her brand new book, Heart of Home for Christmas, celebrating joy in your living space. Well, let's start planning for these holidays. It's time to decorate with a lot of love and grace. How are you, my friend and sister in Christ?
I'm well. It's so good to be here with you today. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, it is my privilege and honor. Now I feel like I have to go like clean up my house. I'm already feeling guilty because I look at your book and I'm like, if only my house could look that way. With five children, it does not look this way.
Yeah, it's definitely meant to be inspiring, not discouraging. That's for sure.
Yes. Well, it is a very beautiful, inspiring book, and I can't wait to jump into it more. But first, I have to ask you, what brings you joy?
You know, at the end of the day, my joy comes from inside. It's a deep place because happiness is always dependent on my circumstances. And that means my happiness is up and down and all around, given my emotional state of mind. But my joy is always rooted in the fact that I've been saved by grace, my place is with Jesus Christ alone, and then my family brings me joy here on earth.
Oh, I love that. I can see that on framed on your wall. In fact, you probably have that somewhere framed on your wall.
No, but I write it down often and remind myself. On those days when things are tough,
yes,
and, or when I'm just wanting to go sit in a corner and cry because things aren't going the way I want them to, I do have to remind myself where my true joy really does come from. And it's always present. It's not something that wavers. And that's what brings me peace.
That's beautiful. Well, what was it like for Victoria growing up?
Well, I'm an only child. And so growing up was very quiet.
Not like with three kids now.
No, it's a totally new world. So I read a lot. I played the piano. I had, you know, my very individual kind of hobbies that I was involved in because this girl's not Sporty Spice. I wish that I could be. I like to watch sports, but I am not gifted in that dynamic. So growing up was kind of quiet, but I was a hard worker. I am very competitive. And being an only child, I think that kind of goes with the territory.
Indeed. Well, then when you got married, you have three children. Did you ever think in your mind that I would only have one child?
Well, it's interesting. I had actually been told that I would likely never have children. I had asthma growing up, and I'd had taken a lot of medication and things like that. And so there's the very real possibility and probability, we thought, that there may not be children in my future. And so we never really kind of worried about that, but God had bigger plans.
Wow. What blessings.
Yes, absolutely.
That is incredible. Well, as I mentioned in the introduction, you have a master's in music, yet somehow you found yourself in the furniture industry. So I have to ask you, where did your love of music come from?
My love of music has been around since I was a little girl. I remember being in church and just watching the church pianist play and do the different things that would happen in church services and just think, I want to do that one day. And I remember telling my parents that I wanted to do that, and they kept telling me to wait because they didn't want to waste money on piano lessons if I was just going to kind of give it up. And so they made me wait till I was 8, which is a little older than the typical person that starts piano lessons and goes off to school to major in music. But I did start at 8, and then I only quit one time. I was about 13, and I wanted to grow my fingernails out. And you can't do that and play piano well. But then I realized fingernails were not as much fun as what really I enjoyed with the piano. So,
oh, my goodness. And so is piano your main instrument?
It is. Piano is my main instrument. I did play violin for a couple years, which is a lot harder on the fingers and doesn't sound quite as good right away. And then I do sing as well.
That's awesome. I can see right now my children played violin, and all I could do is put it like this when they first started. I was like, seriously? It's just because, you know, if you don't get the bow right on the string, it's like, all those wonderful stories.
And the control over making it sharp or flat, and, you know, if your fingers aren't really ready for it, they kind of hurt. So, yeah, there's lots of moments where it's like, I really prefer the piano over this.
Yeah, and it's a pretty instrument, too, right? I mean, the piano, you can get it in all different colors now, and the keys, I mean, come on. You can style it to your decor.
That's true. You really can, any shape or size.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, because you came from a music background, and you have a master's in it, it's not like you just decided that you were going to take lessons for, you know, through high school. You went on and got extended degrees, postgraduate degrees. How in the world did you end up in the home furnishings industry?
Well, that goes back to getting married and having children. And the fact that I was pregnant and trying to teach and getting sick. My pregnancies were not easy. I was always ill, and I couldn't hold down my lunch. So getting through that time frame, my husband said, "Well, why don't you just come to work for me for a little while?" And so within that first year of marriage, we knocked out not only expecting a new baby, but also going to work for my husband.
Wow, that's a whole nother episode.
Oh, yes.
How are your knees now? Do they have extra calluses on them from that first year?
Yeah, we made a decision early on when we first got married that we were not going to go to bed angry. And so there were lots of sleepless nights as we tried to maneuver through just learning how to live life together, how to maneuver through all the emotions and all the different changes going on in my body and hormones, and then going to work for him when he's a firstborn and I'm an only child and we have our ways of doing things. So it was unique. Not one of those things I'd advise people to do, but, you know.
Well, yeah, but at least right now, you're still married from the sound of it, 23 years. I do the calculations. That seems like you were able to work something out.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was a growing experience for me. I realized I really had a lot of selfish tendencies and probably still have a lot to work on. But there were a lot of things where I just had to learn I needed to let go of some things and control things. God was working on me early on and taught me a lot of lessons that I'm grateful for. I just, you know, generally like to space those things out a little more.
Yes. Well, let's move into Christmas. I absolutely love Christmas. It's, if somebody was to ask me, like, you know, what's your favorite holiday? Christmas is always the one that comes to mind immediately. What is it about Christmas that's so special to you?
It's so interesting because this, as far as seasons go, I love it when it's sunny and warm, and I love spring. And so Christmas occurs for me in the middle of winter, which is always kind of strange to me that I love it so much. But it brings warmth, I think, in the middle of a season because of the way we can decorate, the lighting, all the different things that go into it. It's just fun. It was fun when the children were little and getting to watch their eyes light up, you know, when you got to decorate, and having them help throw tinsel or the little, you know, silver snowflake things on the tree and fixing everything up after they went to bed. And, you know, just those memories are so fun. And I think that we try to maybe spend more time with friends and family at the Christmas season than we do maybe year round. And so the memories that we make during that time are so special and they last all year round.
What is one of your childhood memories in, you know, around Christmas time that you're like, I will never be able to let that go? It's just like this indelible moment in your life.
Well, it's funny because, again, I was an only child. So my Christmases were always very quiet by comparison. My husband comes from a larger family. So our first Christmases together were just, you know, raucous events. And I loved it because it was so totally different from what I had grown up. But mom and dad were always they were so good and kind to me. And they always wanted to supply the different things that I wanted and needed. And but we did live in Australia for a few years. So one of my memories of childhood Christmases come from being in Australia for a Christmas when it's 100 degrees outside. And a totally different Christmas spirit and vibe at that point. And I remember mom making a big meal. You know, our Christmases and holidays in general growing up were always involved a meal, you know, some nice good fixins for food that you wouldn't normally have during the year. And she had this plate, you know, table full of food, and we just all sat there and we were so hot and we didn't really want to eat anything. We were just kind of like, oh. So that's one that sticks in my mind of just being so hot at Christmas.
Oh man, I do remember those Christmases. I'm originally from Hawaii.
Okay.
So I can relate to Christmas in Australia and Hawaii. It all kind of blends together.
It's very different. Yeah.
It is different. I mean, it's great because you can go to the beach or you can go hiking. Yeah. You know, you can go to different areas that everybody else here, you know, in the U.S. on the mainland, they're like, oh, freezing in most parts, you know.
That's right. That's right. Not so much in the South, but, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Try to make it up. Yeah.
We do. But we do have those few little sprinkles of snow.
Oh, yeah.
And then the world shuts down.
That's right. Don't try to drive. Impossible.
No, don't try to drive. Well, with the holidays, there are great memories that are made. But with those memories comes a lot of stress and overwhelm. Why do you think Christmas is just such an overwhelming season as a whole?
Well, I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to perform a certain way or to meet expectations that either we have set up for ourselves or that we think others have for us. And so I think expectations always cause us to do maybe more than we should, maybe overspend, which causes stress, or overspend our time. You know, we just clog our calendar full of activities and, you know, with children, and you know this just as much as I do, you know, that if they each only had one activity, you're still going to 3, 5, however many children you have, things, because everybody has a recital, everybody has a party, everybody needs to take, you know, goodies to the teacher. You know, the list is endless, and it can be so draining because we overschedule. And then nothing is fun. You know, none of it's fun at that point. We just kind of don't enjoy it anymore.
What's one way that you've been able to kind of calm your stress? I can only imagine working, you know, if you decorate your own home, but then if you're working with your husband, I'm sure there's decorations that go up then too. There had to be some stress also for you. What's one thing that you can share with people that would be like, how can you calm the storms during the season of Christmas?
I have two things. One is Well, both actually kind of occur year round, but more, I think they're more important than ever during the season. And the first one is just that daily time with the Lord, you know, just that focused, I'm so busy, I can't afford not to sit down and to study his word. There are seasons where we don't have a lot of time to sit and study in depth or pray for great lengths of time. We don't have maybe hours to spend on our quiet time, and that's why I like to write short devotionals, because there are seasons where those are just the snippet that I need to get me through the day. But I find that if I don't spend the time with the Lord, then it's easier to not spend it the next day, and then it's kind of a trickle-down effect. And then my focus ends up being not on the things that I want it to be on. I really, each day, it's so important for me just to have a few moments, keep my focus, and that's going to help me as I plan the rest of my day. And then the second thing that I really like to do, especially around the season, is block off some time. I mean, you have just got to say, we are not going to plan anything on this evening, or we're not going to plan anything on this particular couple hour block. Because if you can go ahead and plan it on your schedule, on your calendar, and you just stick to it, then you're going to be so thankful to just have a Netflix and chill, even if that's all you do. You know, if you're just putting those woolly socks on and wrapping up with a comfortable blanket. I mean, sometimes we just need that, where we don't have to go out. We don't have to go do something. We don't have to, you know, go make cookies. You could order a pizza even. You know, it's scheduling time to just have space. You need that margin.
Indeed. And I think that one specifically needs to be, both of them actually needs to be non-negotiable. Right. It's where, like, it doesn't matter. Unless if there's a true, like, emergency blood or flood, it's going to happen. It's not being changed. Because, like you said, we need those snuggle times. Our kids are only getting older, and so are we. Right. And sometimes those are the best times, because that's where the true memories are made. It's not made in the hustle and the bustle of making the cookies and going to all the parties.
No, because you're fussing at everybody to get their shoes on and get out the door. And, you know, I mean, it's not fun. But we'll sit and, you know, even our family, we'll throw up some of the old photos from, you know, 2010 and scroll through those and just laugh and talk about memories of what we remember. But we don't do that if we're in a rush to go somewhere.
Right. Yeah. I love just taking time and soaking it all in. Well, what has your 20 years experience taught you about decorating in a way that reflects the meaning of Christmas?
Well, I mean, there are certain design principles that occur that actually had some parallels with music, which were interesting. And then as I thought more about them, they actually had parallels in our spiritual life. And so, you know, the principles of balance, of unity and harmony, focal point, all of those things come into play. And as we decorate, we can think about those things, but also how they relate to our spiritual lives. And it's so interesting to me that we can bring a focal point in, maybe a manger or certain words that we decorate with around our home, joy or peace or love. Those things can draw our attention, get us focused back in the right place. And so I love to kind of think through how those design principles really play into how we could decorate for Christmas.
Whoa. Okay. I'm totally amazed, because I know in here, you mentioned the manger, and I don't know if I can turn to it fast enough. You have in here a manger scene that's just sitting there. It's just a simple manger with a few things around it. Maybe we can post the picture in the show notes. It is absolutely beautiful, and it's so simple. It's not like you've got 20,000 things all over the table. It's just this one focal point, and it caught my eye when I read that particular devotion. I know you all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Heart and Home for Christmas, Celebrating Joy in Your Living Space. Now, I love Christmas. So you're sharing secrets. I got to share a secret with you.
Yeah.
I've moved around a lot. And so in one of our many homes that I've lived in my lifetime, the kids counted over 40 Christmas trees. Maybe that's a little overboard. And that's the size. They at least had to be 2 feet, and I had to decorate them, whether it was lights or an ornament. That's how we counted them. We didn't count these little cute things, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of trees. You know, but now, I'm it's confession here. The thought for some people, though, I mean, 40 trees, some people are like, I can't even handle one. I mean, it puts people in a tizzy, right?
And
sure. then I think back connecting it with Jesus and how he was brought to this earth by a simple and beautiful stable in a way that is just almost unimaginable. He didn't come with pomp and circumstance. He didn't come in a platinum crib. You know, he came in a simple manger. How can we begin to decorate and prepare for the holidays, yet have that simple decor?
Well, you know, that's always the trick, right? I mean, balance is always the hard part, whether we're talking about how we live our daily life or how we're going to decorate. Balance is always the challenge. And so it's interesting to me, the more I study and the more I got ready for the first Heart and Home book, which came out in April, is realizing that Scripture talks a lot about the design work and the creative process in the tabernacle and the plans for the ark and for the temple that Solomon built. So there are beautiful details, you know, ornate things that God, you know, wanted done in a very specific way. And so when you think about those kind of things, you realize it's not necessarily that we have to have just this minimal, nothing beautiful process. Now, if that's what people enjoy, then I think they should do that, you know. In different seasons, I believe, you know, we're going to decorate in different ways. I was sick one year at Christmas time, I remember, not having time to get everything decorated. We had a very simple Christmas that year. Super simple. But that was kind of the season we were in. And that's just kind of how we had to roll with it. And I couldn't regret it. I just had to say, this is kind of where we are. But when we have the opportunity and when we're not hurting our budgets and that kind of thing, I think that it's perfectly beautiful to decorate with more ornate things, gold and silver and all those things. They're all spoken of in the Bible. They're all used whenever they were bringing gifts to the baby child anyway, to Jesus at the manger, the myrrh, the frankincense. All those things have been talked about. And so I don't know that there's necessarily any one wrong way to decorate. I think that we just tend to put too much pressure on ourselves to do all of it.
Yeah, we need to almost have more forgiveness for grace. What we don't
more
do.
Grace.
Yeah, grace, definitely. Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I guess I get kind of tangled up sometimes literally in the lights because that's my job. No one wants to do the lights on the Christmas tree. And we still have our original Christmas tree that we bought as a couple when we were first married. Aww. And they don't have, you know, lights already on there. They're not LED, so we have to string them every single year.
Yep.
But when you do that, there's something rewarding about, oh my gosh, just something little. Mm-hmm. Or you can have something a lot that just adds this incredible sparkle into your everyday.
Absolutely. I love Christmas lights more than anything. I think they're one of my favorite things. Because especially, you know, one of the things I said earlier was it's so important to me to sit down and study God's word each morning. And I usually get up early. I had to make that decision long time ago that if I didn't get up and make a sacrifice, because I love to sleep, I'm a girl that would love to sleep, stay in bed. I really would. But I knew I needed to do something drastic in order to put my priorities in the right place. So I get up at 5 a.m. So it's not bright. It's not sunny outside. It's still dark. And so at Christmas time, I love just being able to plug in the lights and just being in that calm and that quiet of the morning and having those lights on there as well. It's just so peaceful.
Oh, I'm going there right now. I'm just like, can we just have a moment?
I know, right? I mean, it is. It's so satisfying. We've got some windows that I get to sit and look out, and I can tell where the moon is. I can tell what season it is because where the moon is in the mornings when I get up and the different stars that come out. It just gives me awe and wonder at the great creation and the creator that we have. And so it just puts me in the right frame of mind just to sit and study his word. And the Christmas lights help at Christmas time. They just, you know, they add to the mood.
Yeah, they do. And okay, so is it okay though to have Christmas lights beyond Christmas?
Yeah.
Just asking. I've ever done that.
I would love to do it year round. I mean, I know people that leave them up and they decorate their trees for different holidays throughout the year. which I think is fascinating. We don't, but I would love, we get a real tree, and that's part of the reason why, is because we have we enjoy the smell, the pine, and, you know, that whole process. But if I left one up year-round, I would absolutely decorate that thing, and I would have those lights on all the time, and I would love it, absolutely love it.
Well, I won't feel guilt anymore on the couple things that I still have little twinkle lights on, because I like that effect.
Right.
I don't know. It like you said, it warms your spirit, and it does. It brings that intimacy that I think we tend to forget that comes with Christmas. We wonder why it's such a wonderment season. I think it draws us closer, and that's what God wants us. He wants to draw us closer, and twinkling lights do that.
Yeah, and those Christmas ornaments that we decorate with that we've collected through the years, you know, everybody kind of gathers around and picks them out off the tree and talks about a memory. You know, those are those moments where everybody's kind of gathering around. Just want to kind of keep everybody close. I mean, mine are growing up so fast. It's not going to be many more years where we're all going to be together. And so, you know, you want to kind of grasp that as often as possible.
Hmm. Yeah, take advantage of that situation. Well, speaking of children, what is one tradition that you've kept from your childhood and you brought it into your family?
Oh, that's a really good one. Well, I think the biggest one that we always did, and it just so turned out that my husband and his family did it as well. So it wasn't totally unique to my family, but we always opened a gift on Christmas Eve. It was always something I got to pick out, any one of the gifts I could pick out, and I opened it. We do ours a little more selectively. We always have for the kids, and they, you know, of course, we've done it for so many years now, they know exactly what they're getting, but it's always new pajamas, and that way we can all watch a Christmas movie before we go to bed. So.
But that's a great tradition.
Yeah, it is. We love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love those times. We have, my husband and I, we don't wrap the gifts like as we get them. So that means the night of Christmas Eve, I'm wrapping to like O Dark Hundred Christmas morning. And we just have we have a whole stack of DVDs that we go through, from the old white Christmas to the newer, you know, crazier ones. And it's just something we enjoy.
Oh, I love that. It's the little things that we probably don't even necessarily realize are Christmas traditions, but we tend to do them every year. But that's what makes it feel like us. We traveled a couple years ago. We were gone from home over the Christmas break, and we didn't wrap Christmas pajamas for anybody. And they were all like, where's our pajamas? You know, we're like, we're on this trip.
You already packed your pajamas.
So it was pretty funny, because it's one of those things that they had come to not expect in a bad way, but just that was one of the things that they were familiar with for Christmas. And so it continues on.
Aw, that's so sweet. Well, I know in your book you had other contributors within, and to have them, you know, you actually had them share their expertise. What was it like bringing them into your space?
Oh, it was so nice. People are just awesome. I love, I did not know when I was going to start writing books that I was going to have to get into social media and, you know, network and grow this platform and things. I just had no idea. I just thought the book writing process was, you wrote a good book, somebody liked it, they published it. That is not the way it works, ever. No. And so I had a little learning curve. And what I didn't realize, though, was that building my Instagram was going to be so fun because of some of the people I would connect with. And there's a lot of ladies that are on Instagram in particular that are faith-filled. They love design. They love decor, but they love talking about Jesus too. And they've built these really great followings, and they're just really sweet people. And so I just started messaging different ones. I would just say, hey, you don't know me, but... I'm working on this project. And so I was so grateful. There was like 9 that said yes for the first book and jumped on board. And they were like, yeah, let's, you know, I'd be happy to send you a tip. Or some of them sent tips as well as pictures. And so when it came time to do the Christmas book, they were like, yeah, we'd love to do that. And then a few more joined. And so it was really great. I think there's about 15 people altogether that jumped on and said that they would contribute giving some of their tips, their best Christmas tips, and then contributing some of their pictures too. So it's been a lot of fun connecting and making new friends like that, because they took a chance on me. They didn't really know who I was or what I was all about. And so I'm super grateful.
Well, there are some incredible pictures in here. And besides them actually contributing, where did all these other gorgeous pictures come from?
Yes. So some are from my home, and some are from my sweet friend Meredith Drumright's home. She lives here in the area, and she just has this amazing home, and she adores Christmas and decorates multiple trees, and her home is just a feast for the eyes when you walk in. And so it was one of those places where I was like, so if I bring a photographer...
Can we use that?
Yes. And she's just, they were so gracious and were willing and delighted, really, to do it. So it's been a joy to really kind of be able to go in and take pictures from other people's homes, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I know y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Heart and Home for Christmas, Celebrating Joy in Your Living Space. Well, when you look at decorating over the years, what has it taught you about God?
I think that, again, going back to some of those design principles, are the places where I've really seen God's design come alive. You know, the things that we've read in the Bible, just Him being a creator and how He loves beautiful things. You know, you think about the design of a snowflake or a tear. You think about the design of the different buildings in the Bible. There were just different opportunities where my mind goes, it's interesting because design has changed, and it changes constantly, and then new things go away and old things come back in, vintage and refurbished things. But all of those things just are beautiful in their own way. And to think that God was the one that started the process in the first place, because he also designed beautiful things, and that being able to take joy in His creation and see Him everywhere, His fingerprints everywhere.
Oh, and His fingerprints are absolutely everywhere. I think how Mary would have felt holding the Son of God. I mean, just pausing in that, going, I don't know how I would have reacted. I mean, knowing that this is the Son of God, this is the Messiah, in, you know, cold, there's animals around, yet there had to be such beauty felt within her heart. For the person who's going, Christmas isn't always as beautiful as what either I remembered it as a child or as the season I'm in right now in my life, how would you kind of encourage and inspire them to soak up that season of Christmas, the true reason for the season?
I think that's hard, isn't it? Because tragedy happens all the time, and living life doesn't exempt us from having to experience sorrow. It doesn't exempt us from having to experience grief. And there is not really a time that would be more difficult, maybe other than a birthday of someone we've lost, than Christmas, because it is all about the family, and it is all about being together. And if you've lost someone, for instance, your grief just may be overwhelming. And so Mary's story is phenomenal. And, you know, I think about the years Mary spent raising Jesus, and what must that have been like, you know, because the perfect Son of God, you know, is your child. And I've raised enough children to go, man, this must have been the most difficult thing in the world. You know, I can't wrap my head around it, which is good. I don't want to wrap my head around the story. I just want to be in awe. But, you know, during this season, I think being able to come back, whether someone's going through a difficult time, a hard trial, a job loss, or financial difficulties, or the loss of a family member, coming back to the joy of that moment of the reason Jesus came, it wasn't just so He could be the baby in the manger. It was because the cross loomed large, and He knew His destiny was to rescue us. And so at the end of the day, the greatest encouragement I can give is that there's more to the story, and the gospel is everything.
Amen. Beautifully said. Love it. And we need to take that beyond our heart, and it needs to go in the depths of our soul. We need to live that out, not just at Christmas. My children know that this mama doesn't take down Christmas decorations like right after Christmas. I'm one who pushes it into January and sometimes February 1st. I like them. I can't, I mean, it's just, I have, and I think it's because of that closeness, knowing, and unfortunately, it's like we lose our Christmas passes, and now we're like, everybody's biting at each other. I'm not talking about my family. They do bite at each other once in a while. But, you know, I'm just talking about the world in general, right? We're not very open and loving and giving as we are in the season of Christmas. For those mommies out there who are like, I've got kids and I want to kind of raise them up to, I guess, have that season of Christmas in their heart all year round, what little bit of mama advice would you give them?
I think probably it would come from those places where I have felt like I haven't done it so well in the past, and where I have seen that I could have done a little better and wish I had taken the time to do it a little better. Maybe it's the taking the time to bake the cookies together and getting everybody together, no matter what the mess was going to be at the end of the day. And going and delivering those to someone who needed something. Being sure to keep their focus outward on other people and their needs versus what they always needed and wanted. I feel like we did a little bit of that, but I really feel like we could have probably done more of that, especially when they were smaller, to just kind of get them in that habit of being ready to take care of other people and thinking, putting other people ahead of themselves, especially during the Christmas season. And that requires sacrifice. You know, baking cookies together with multiple children around takes a lot longer than if you just did it yourself. Having them help clean up when it's over takes three times as long, and you might break a few things. But I think it's an important part of the process to include them in that, and then to include them in the process of going to meet a neighbor, of going to hug an elderly widow who just might need a family around them just for a few moments, not taking a ton of time, but just being willing to do those kind of service type things together and including them in the process, I think super important.
Very good advice. And I'm sure moms are like, okay, maybe I can add that to my to-do list. But don't stress out about it, moms. It's okay.
No, and if you've blocked time off, right, if you block that time off consistently to do things together, then that can be one of those times that you do something together. You're not like trying to take it away from something else or have one more to do. Because it can feel like that. And I don't think our spiritual lives are supposed to feel like that, the to-dos. They can get that way so easily. I'm a checklist girl, so I mean, I can fall into that so easily. I'll even write it back on the end of the checklist so I can check it off because I did it and it should have been there.
That's awesome.
So I am that person. But I'm not trying to like burden people down with more things. It's definitely saying, hey, block off time, block off space. Do something together and then think about how could I do that again. It's like maybe blocking a pancake breakfast morning, you know, maybe it's a Saturday morning, everybody's together, and then just inviting the neighbors over and having pancakes together. Sometimes we've done that in the past where it's not been invite people over for dinner, it's been invite people over for breakfast, and everybody always looks at you like, what? but yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be complicated. Right. It's that process of making time to have an open door and communicate love to other people too.
Oh, that's beautiful. I haven't done the invite to breakfast. Maybe I'll do that this year. I love that idea. Love it. Well, if you could have anyone come and decorate your space and money is not an issue, who would that be?
That's a tough one, man.
Okay, you can make a team if you want to make a team. Who would your team be if you have to do it that way?
I tell you what, there's a couple of ladies on Instagram who I just adore, and I would really love to just have them in my space as well as decorate, and they're the design twins. Jody and Julie, they're amazing. They have wonderful accounts, but they're also just the sweetest, most genuine people. And I love what they do when they're designing, but I also love the people that they are. So I would adore that if they came over and they just hung out and did their thing.
Oh, how sweet is that? All right, so we have to also get the inside scoop here. What is trending for 2019 as we begin to move into 2020?
Yeah, so, I mean, metallics are still really strong. You still have a really strong natural vibe. So anything greenery that's outside, flowers are still really strong. So it's really interesting. If you kind of watch the fashion industry, the home furnishings are going to kind of follow behind. And so florals were really strong, and then you kind of started seeing it everywhere. So it is fun to watch that process. But any of the natural items, and then just lots of the metallics, they're still cool.
Oh, wow. Well, I know that I like to update. However, my update comes when I move, because I've moved 28 times in my lifetime, I think. And that's not counting college time moving. That's like real life moving.
Wow.
So I've seen a lot, been a lot of different places.
Yeah.
But still, we like to update, right? We get tired of the old. Let's bring ourselves into the kitchen, which in my opinion is the heart of the home. I mean, we were just talking about baking the cookies and having pancakes. And I mean, that's the fun stuff, is getting everybody in the kitchen. And sometimes it's crazy because you can't get to the fridge because there's three people standing in front of it. But that's how you remember. And then it ends up to being a tackle on the floor laughing and giggling. What is one thing that we can do to update our kitchen?
Well, I'll tell you what I want to do, and I haven't done it yet. I would love to get out some paint and paint my cabinets right now. That bold blue, that navy blue, is so beautiful in kitchens at the moment that I'm like, I really want to get in there and do it, but there has been not a lot of time. But I think just also keeping it clean makes a huge difference. Cluttering is just, if we can get rid of the clutter, put some fresh plants in, I mean, it's just going to change everything.
Oh, I love that idea. That's one thing I do want to do this winter, is I want to bring the herbs in, and I want to kind of try to figure out how to put them on my wall. But I got to see, like, I don't want to have to take them down every single time I have to water them, so I'm trying to figure that out too. But, you know, in our spare time, you know, we can figure all this out, right?
Oh, sure, yeah. Because you have all that time to water plants anyway. You
know? Right, exactly. No, I don't have all that time, because I'm reading your beautiful brand new book, Heart of Home for Christmas, Celebrating Joy in Your Living Space. And I promise you, when you pick up this book, it's just going to add something, I don't know, maybe spice for the table. I just, it's so gorgeous. And the weight of the paper, you know, some books you pick up and you're like, seriously? Like, you know, you could tear them. It's worse than the Bible. You know, I'm always afraid I'm going to tear my Bible pages. But some books, and this is just like heavy, and you just want to sit there and ponder the beauty that's within it. Cover everything. It's absolutely gorgeous. So y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy. Okay, before I let you go, though, because we're running out of time, I have to ask a strange question. And the reason why I say it's strange is because when I wrote it, I was like, that's a really strange question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So what one piece of furniture would you leave out of your living room?
One piece of furniture would I leave out of my living room? Oh, that's a tough one. I would probably leave out the coffee table, I guess, if I had to pick, and put more seating in so more people could just sit and hang out. Although I like my coffee table because I need somewhere to put my coffee and my magazines and things.
And your book.
And my book, right? It needs somewhere to go. But we could put more end tables in, maybe. But no, I could see moving that out and just creating more space for people to sit.
I love that. That relationship, the connectivity.
Yep.
Beautiful. Well, as an author, that underlining, I hope my readers will gain. What is that you want your readers to gain when they pick up your book?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I hope they know my heart is I'm trying to share on the page the things that God's teaching me. And So I'm hopeful that it's useful to someone else in the process, that maybe somebody else will find encouragement. Maybe they'll find encouragement that they're enough already, that they don't have to do more. And maybe they'll find some inspiration, because we're always looking for new ideas. Pinterest and Instagram and everything under the sun give us lots of ideas. But maybe it's a moment where they can get an idea, but they can also have their focus back to where the priority is for the Christmas season. So for me, it's not a matter of me preaching at anybody. It's definitely a, hey, here's what I'm in the middle of learning. Maybe somebody else could use a little something from this too.
Yeah, it's a little spice of hope. You know, it's just that little extra. And in reading it and what you have written, I mean, the stories and the lessons learned and the scriptures that you share, it's just beautifully, I don't want to say packaged together, but it really is. It's just this beautiful book. And I'm excited to have it a part of my now Christmas decor.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's been a joy to put it together and to see it come out. Abingdon has done a great job as the publisher of putting my vision into an actual book. And so I'm just super proud of it.
Yeah, well, it is absolutely gorgeous. Well, I know people are going to want to connect with you. Where can they find you?
Yeah, so every social media platform, basically. You know, you won't miss me out there, but I do have a difficult last name. So the easiest place to connect with me first would be Heart and Home Books. Just spell it all out, heartandhomebooks.com. And you'll be able to find me on everything that I'm doing from there.
Awesome. Well, we will be sure to have all that information in the show notes, along with the long list of social media contacts. Well, before I let you go, Victoria, the series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
My story's had so many twists and turns, and it hasn't always looked the way that I thought that it should or thought that it would. And yet God's grace has been evident all along the way. And that brings me a lot of peace. And so even though I don't know how the rest of the story is going to go, I know I can keep walking it and wait for the adventure that's going to unfold.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I look forward to us chatting again. I have a feeling this is only going to be our first conversation of many to come.
Well, I sure hope so. I enjoyed it a lot. It was great.
Many blessings and a joy to the new year.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.